Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants.
Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mystery.
And I'm Jay Clone. 25.
Me, me, me. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic.
Are you?
Yes, I'm full of life.
Are you ready for the El Curo?
El Curo? Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe. I don't know. Sounds Spanish.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
EL should be a...
Was a giveaway.
Should be. I mean, should be. So this episode, we're going to talk about a monster that I've had on the list forever.
Okay.
And... there's just not a lot out there.
For El Curo?
Yeah. But it's really cool, and I think I know what it may be.
Ooh.
But as far as the actual attacks or sightings or any of that stuff, besides what's on, like, the Cryptid Wiki and a couple, it's all the same, like, four things just spread across all the sites that talk about it.
Yeah.
So I don't really know if it's real, as in people claim they have seen it.
So it's there's not a whole lot to it, but it is a known thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But before we get rocking and rolling into that, we got a couple shout outs.
All right.
First one is thank you, Library Under Attack Publications. Sent us a whole bunch of books. Very cool books.
Some awesome books that we're really looking forward to. Yeah. You know, I think we might want to bump this one of these books down to the DW guys too.
I think they both are heading that way.
Yeah. I think they both really right down their alley. That's the DW Conspiracy Shack.
But yeah, so Library Under Attack Publications. Check them out. LibraryUnderAttack.com. Also, we got two amazing things. So you want to go ahead and shout them out?
Yeah. Well, it's big thank you to Lisa for sending us two, I guess, almost new additions to our table whenever we go.
Yeah.
One
is 100% the new mascot.
Yes.
It is going to every festival, every event with us.
I'm going to read this, and she sent us a nice letter along with them.
Right?
Yeah, Lisa.
Okay.
I'm going to read just the last little paragraph of this letter. It was nice. The whole letter's nice. I'm just going to read the end of it, though. She said, I made the squonk for Emily and the unicorn after Jay mentioned it in one of the episodes. I don't specifically remember. I do remember talking about
it. I remember talking about it.
Yes, I don't remember which episode. So she made a crocheted squonk that's just awesome. And then she made this unicorn, emphasis on the corn.
It's so, horn is a corn.
Cob.
A corn cob.
The unicorn's horn is a corn cob. And she said, I'm going to read the rest here. She said, you both mentioned that you like to fish, so I made the colors of the mane and tail with the colors of the ocean waves. depending on the ocean's mood.
They're really pretty.
I thought you could put it in your studio. Well, thank you again.
It is going to 100% into the studio. It's sitting right in front of us right now on the table.
It's very nice.
And it's going everywhere with us.
Yes, this will be everywhere.
And it's even got a little spot in the tour bus. It'll live up in the top.
Oh, perfect.
We'll make a little habitat for it.
Oh, that'll work out great.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it. It's so awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. So if anyone comes to see us at a live show,
you'll see it.
So the next one is June 14th
yeah.
in Ada at the Noreta Lane's Bowling Alley.
Tickets are below.
Tickets are in the link below with famous author, homeowner, handsome swimmer.
Your
line?
Yeah.
Okay. A swimmer, and he's also...
I don't know.
I'm giving you a chance to say
it. Well, I already said handsome. You said handsome already.
Well, I'm letting you say it now.
Okay, you go ahead. Finish.
Homeowner, famous author, great swimmer, and...
Just do it.
Wait, do it.
No, hurry up. I'm going to read.
Oh, okay. Handsome author.
He's very handsome. Get your tickets below if you want to come out. Also, if you want to join Patreon, we got tons of extra content. We meet twice a month. We do movie reviews, game nights, give away a ton of free stuff on the Patreon. It's a lot of fun. If you guys think about joining, it's the best way to support the show.
Yes.
Besides sharing. Sharing the show is the best way to support the show. And then if you'd like...
Like, share, subscribe, hit that like button.
Kick us a couple bucks and hang out. You know, that's what it's for.
Ding the bells. All right. You know.
El Curo. You ready?
El Curo. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So I discovered
jumping right into it.
Probably 3 years ago. It's been sitting floating in the list on the drive forever. And I just can't find anything real and substantial to it.
Okay.
So if anybody Googles El Curo, and it's E-L-C-U-E-R-O.
Oh, C-U-E-R-O. Okay.
Yeah. That's the best way I could pronounce it, Curo.
I think you're right.
But I'm, you know, I don't speak that language, so
Curo.
It could be a little off, you know, one way or the other, you know, just like English, you know, there's a bunch of, we have a bunch of things that aren't pronounced how they're spelled.
Exactly.
So it's an extremely dangerous South American lake monster, having a hairless head and spines with a body with the appearance, now this is really interesting, of a cow hide that has been splayed out to dry.
Hmm. Okay.
So its body is very, very reminiscent of a cat, like a tanning hide.
Yeah.
And its coloration is kind of similar to that. It's very interesting. Large, flat thing. Teeth and stuff are underneath. The eyes are on top of the body.
Wow. Okay. I'm getting a very weird picture in my head.
The artist's pictures of this are very weird. Imagine a living carpet.
What I'm thinking of, actually, the first thing that pops in my mind, I feel like you're going to hate me for this. At the end of the movie, Nope, when it's doing like threat display.
Oh, yeah. So that's at least the artist's depictions. It's not exactly what it looks like.
Okay.
But yeah, I get that.
It's kind of what I'm picturing without the eyes.
You know what a cowhide looks like drying?
Sure.
On a drying rack?
When they have it stretched out
Yeah. So imagine just two sets of eyes on the top of that, or multiple sets of eyes on the top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the teeth are on the bottom of it, and it just crawls around like that.
Gotcha. Okay, okay.
Like a big, like a rug.
Sure.
Like a living rug.
It's standing on its end.
No, it's flat on the ground.
Oh, it's flat completely.
Yeah, like a rug.
Oh.
Eyes are on the top part.
Okay.
Mouth, and the teeth are on the bottom part. But gotcha. It has teeth just kind of everywhere on the bottom.
Ugh. Yeah.
So we'll get more into the depiction. It roughly translates to the hide or the leather, resembling a primitive stingray. The most.
Okay.
So kind of some stingray stuff, some others, you know, not. It has wide pectoral fins with long whipping tail, although an obvious barb is absent. Mm-hmm. So there are, you know, this is from South America. There are, the world's largest stingrays are found in the, you know, in the Amazon.
Right.
Plus there's some, you know, that may be a little bigger in Asia, but some of the largest stingrays, freshwater stingrays in the world are in the Amazon.
Okay.
And they kill people. They are highly venomous. They're highly trained with that barb, and they will just spear you.
I mean, that's what got Steve Irwin, right?
Yeah, that was an ocean stingray. But
ocean
yes.
one? Okay. Still, but if it got him, it's
River
you know
Monsters
they're deadly.
Talked about it, where normally the barb will pull out or it'll break off inside, you know, ooh. The threat.
Yeah.
A kid got stuck on the barb, and they seen him being dragged through the water in the Amazon.
Oh, gosh.
Like, it just never came out.
Yeah.
Because they have hooks on him.
Right, yeah.
It's supposed to just shred. And to help, because their venom kind of just leaks over their spine, their barb.
Gotcha.
It's not like a bee where it's hollow and they inject it.
Right.
They just kind of have a, you know, a gland on the base of the barb that just leaks it over.
Mm.
If you watch the River Monsters episode with it, he actually scrapes some off of it.
Yeah.
It's like black goo.
I've seen that episode, yeah.
So whip tail, but no obvious barb. So it has a tail like a stingray, but no obvious barb. Its eyes are on stalks, and its eyes are on stalks, and its mouth is permanently extendable. So it's like the apparent bottom feeder. So like a stingray, where it can have the, you know, mouth that shoots out, or a sturgeon, mm-hmm. where the mouth shoots out, teeth mm-hmm. everywhere. And the underside has some just teeth on it, or hooks.
Okay.
You know, not just, you know, in the mouth. But it has multiple sets of eyes on stalks, like a snail or a slug.
Yeah,
on
top. Weird. Very weird.
Okay. Eyewitnesses also reported a series of, like, the razor sharp claws along the fringes of El Curo, which make the creature used to secure its prey, or if it, you know, encapsules prey, to help hold it to the bottom to smother prey. So it's like a blanket that shoots up over you and literally just holds you down till you die.
Hmm. It sounds terrifying.
Yeah. There have also been suggestions that El Curo uses hunting knives taken from its previous prey as weapons against its victim, saying that maybe it's collecting trophies. The size of El Curo ranges from anywhere from 2 to 5 feet across and approximately 65 pounds. Although El Curo may be distinctly related to some kind of family of freshwater stingray, which inhabits South America, there are a few notable differences than any of the South American stingrays and El Curo. Yeah, so far, what do you think? This big carpet, I guess 2 to 5 feet, but some people's depictions of this thing are like 20 feet wide.
Wow.
Sometimes it'll have plants growing on its back, and it's literally like a slothing island that'll just jump and like try to smother you into the mud.
Oh, I don't know, a turtle, or I don't know.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, what do you think of this thing?
Very weird, and like something I don't want to come across.
Yeah.
I don't want to get caught in my fishing line.
A lot of the depictions are like that 2 to 5 feet across, so that's wide.
Yeah.
Some of them are huge. Some of the people that have had encounters say that they're absolutely massive. Apparently, it hunts in a Chilean glacial lake, Lake Lesker, located in the Andes Mountains.
Okay.
The Andes have all kinds of weird wildlife. Stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, human attacks. There have been several human attacks reported. Some some South American natives tell stories of El Curo as a vicious predator, giving the nickname the aquatic tiger or / panther. You know, they don't have tigers in South America. So, when, you know.
Panther's the next best. Yes.
The monster apparently surges out of the lake like a crocodile, overwhelming its prey, mostly humans, which it uses its proboscis to puncture holes in the skin, sucking out the internal organs and all the bodily fluids.
Okay.
So as it's holding you down, wrapping you up, and like pinning you to the bottom of the mud, it's drinking you.
Yeah, that's very odd.
There have been countless yet controversial attacks on humans. One story tells of a young woman washing clothes by the lakeside as her baby slept nearby. According to her, the creature burst out of the water like a crocodile and engulfed the baby whole. And it slipped away into the water as quickly as it appeared.
And you think you know what this thing is?
Maybe.
Okay.
I have ideas.
Okay.
Similar creatures to El Curo have been reported to dwell in the rivers and lagoons of both Argentina and Chile. So it's not just El Curo from the Andes Mountains in this one glacial lake. There seems to be a similar phenomena across the board.
Hmm.
The legend of El Curo has circulated throughout the indigenous populations of these two major nations. Some investigators are pointing to the similarities between this animal and the vicious, I'm going to try to pronounce this, Huki-Huki, which is another South American lake monster. The reports are so similar, experts pretty much consider it the same animal. The way it's described, it's. I doubt two people came up with this thing separately.
Yeah, right.
Without seeing something.
That was bridging the gap, yeah.
South American mothers warn their children to stay away from the lakeside, fearing the Huki-Huki will eat them.
The Huki-Huki. I like that name. That sounds like someone, like a nickname for somebody around here. Well, watch out for old Huki-Huki.
Huki-Huki. and I have several thoughts, and other people have had the same thoughts, so none of these are extremely independent.
Okay.
Because there's just, people have been looking, this is one of those things that people have been looking into forever, and there's just not a lot there, and it upsets me.
They never got, there's not more to the story other than basically what you've just read.
Yeah. It's like the same four encounters that have been spread around forever, that they encounter El Curo, or they encounter the Huki-Huki. People say it's just, you know, it's a big, flat, stingray-like, but not a stingray. Keep in mind, these people have, you know, stingrays. They have stingrays.
So they know what they are.
It's not like they're living, you know, we're talking about desert people that are claiming to see a stingray.
Right.
You know, they have giant stingrays that live in the river that kill people.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they should know what a stingray is. So they know this is something similar, different. But I just can't believe nothing is popping to my head. What?
Really?
Like an actual animal?
But yeah, or similar animals.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I thought of with the eyes and stuff you were saying.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Made me think of like conch snails and or you know things like that. But overall, I mean, some kind of sea slug, some kind of carnivorous sea slug.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's my big one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's literally the only thing I can even remote. Like a sea dragon.
Yeah.
What are they called?
You're thinking of a blue sea dragon.
Yeah, blue sea dragon.
Which are nudibranchs. No, they're not nudibranchs. But I'm talking about nudibranchs, which are like sea slugs.
Okay.
Like this, we've talked about the sea hare on the show. It's what that was the Florida sea monster that washed up that had human eyes.
Yeah.
On the big long stalks. That was probably a giant sea hare, which they get like 10, 12 pounds. They're huge. Mm.
Okay.
They're normally not predators. There are several sea slugs that are predators. One of the things is this may be some kind of hunting mollusk that may have, you know, taken the adaptation role of a crocodilian. Because many animals have held that niche. You know, it's not just crocodilians. Everything from, like, aquatic wolves to salamanders.
Aquatic wolves?
Yeah.
Like actual wolves?
No. An animal kind of relatively similar to a canid.
Okay.
That, you know.
Huh.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Like, kind of like a giant otter.
Well, we'll see. I mean, Colossal will bring them back for sure. Aquatic wolves.
Yeah.
Probably next week.
Probably.
They'll make that announcement.
No, so that's one thought, is that it's some kind of giant mollusk. The eyes kind of fit. Now, some mollusks actually do, they don't have bones or anything like that, but they can have modified, kind of like teeth. That's the best way to explain it for everybody. Especially around the edges. So that mouth, it's like kind of the mouth they have too.
Yeah.
So there's always a chance that this is some kind of giant mollusk, like a cousin of a slug. And then some of them did get very large.
Would have never imagined that though. You just don't think of like, I don't know, snails behaving that way.
Well, on Freaky Fauna, we talked about sea angels.
Yeah.
Which are not snails, but they're, you know, a close cousin. And while they look gorgeous, they are active predators and they are blind.
Mm.
And they shoot out the giant tentacles out of their mouth to eat sea butterflies, which are snails.
Yes.
So there's always a thought that maybe it's some kind of just monster like that. Like just very rare, you know, mountains. So they're high enough in the mountains, perhaps, that there are no crocodilians. When we talk about like the Trinity Alps giant salamander, the other giant salamanders of the world, they kind of fill that similar niche as crocodilians.
Right.
But they start where the crocodilians stop.
Mm.
You know, so they kind of take over. Like we talked about the Canadian alligators, probably the same species as the Trinity Alps giant salamander.
The two can't coexist in the same role same place.
I think it's more water temperature based.
Mm.
The salamanders generally prefer cooler stuff and the crocodilians generally prefer warmer stuff. So
yeah,
it may not even be a direct competition. It may just be that where one's preferable habitat stops is where the other one starts.
And they just both fill the same niche for the areas. Yeah. Yeah.
Like Coolosuchus was around during all the giant salamanders were around from the beginning all the way through the time of the dinosaurs.
Okay.
They survived several mass extinctions. I think there could be other things like that, you know, that are hiding ancient relics that are hiding out. And these are the kind of places you'd find these. So maybe it is some giant predatory slug.
Slug or, yeah, that's so weird to think about.
Even, so there's leeches that are completely land-based that are highly predatory.
Okay.
That actually chase down prey and like wrestle prey.
Okay.
But, you know, we've talked about velvet worms and all kinds of stuff that are very odd, that are active predators. And a lot of times, like, a lot of people are describing it as only 2 foot wide, which the giant sea hare gets that big. But they're herbivores, right? So they're not generally doing that
carnivorous
kind of stuff.
But, how many of them are, like, fresh water?
There are handfuls of them. None of the giants, as far as my knowledge goes.
Mm.
But there are handfuls, yes. There are freshwater slugs. Especially snails. There are tons of freshwater mollusks.
What if it's a homunculus someone made?
There you go. That's actually my next one on the list.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
No, so that is one. That's one I could see. You know, of any place you're going to find a giant predatory fast slug, it may be the Andy Mountains.
A remote Amazon mountaintop. Yeah.
Next one is kind of a twofer. Stingrays. You know, they talk about it being distinctly different from stingrays. So one side of it, these are nothing more than freshwater stingrays that parents are using like hyperbole to scare kids away from dangerous water.
Okay.
Because like we talked about with the alligators, right?
Yep.
If you just tell your kid there's an alligator down there, that's an animal they see. Even though an alligator can be dangerous to a child, the child never registers that. So you make it a big, scary monster.
El Curo.
Yeah. El Curo, you know, it's like a stingray.
Yeah.
It's got teeth and it jumped out of the water and, you know, all these crazy eyes everywhere.
So the game of telephone over the years.
That and just like we talk about it with all these, you know, some folklore, just the monster side of it, comes from that.
The Snallygoster.
The Snallygoster. So what do you think of that? That it could just be a stingray that parents were using as a monster to keep kids away from dangerous bodies of water.
Yeah, I mean, it might not even be a stingray necessarily.
No, but that's just,
it's just
some of the pictures really look like a stingray.
If, I mean, let's just say even the whole thing is a folklore, like, creation just to warn of the dangers of the water for kids. You know, it could be completely made up in that regard, which I could totally see being what has happened or something similar like that, yeah. I'm all for that idea, just because throughout many of the stories we've covered, that's just a normal kind of thing. That folklore is warning. It's just a warning sign in general. And then sometimes those stories take on a life of their own, or other people catch wind of them and not fully aware of their origin being a story, or, you know, just where it came out of a creation, not just not actually being real. So I could see that happening.
The other side of that is that maybe it is a cousin, like it is a stingray, but it may be a more monstrous stingray.
Yeah.
Maybe more of an active predator. Stingrays do slide on land every once in a while to eat food.
Okay.
And by the way, so do nudibranchs, sea slugs. Mm. Some predatory sea slugs in tidal pools will come out of the water to hunt like little crustaceans and stuff on land.
Oh, okay.
And they, as far as their size, they do it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
They chase down prey. You know, we're talking about animals that, you know, the whole fight can fit in the palm of your hand.
Right, yeah.
So there is that. But stingrays, especially in areas where they're fed by humans, will slide up and slap on the, like, out of the water to be fed.
That'd be pretty cool to see.
So what if this is a specialized Amazonian or Argentinian or Chilean stingray, you know, species? Maybe it does have modified scales on the edge that look like teeth to grip and maybe slide through the mud better.
Pole, yeah.
You know, we talk about, so electric eels, for example, why they are air breathers and why they're like, their whole guts are just like engines behind their head. The rest of their body is just the electrical producing organ. They're completely designed to just survive by being a little bit moist.
Hmm.
Like there'll be hundreds of electric eels in mud puddles.
Yeah.
When the Amazon, like the dry season.
Yeah.
In places they get stranded. Stingrays are kind of fall into that category too. So maybe that there's a specialized stingray that has these kind of adaptations to help it pull itself in mud, you know, help it get out of, you know, drying up puddles.
It's definitely okay. If this is a real one, it would have to be, have been isolated for so long.
I mean, we're talking about an area that's very little studied.
Right. Yeah.
And stingrays take on various shapes and forms, especially right. In this area.
That's what I'm saying. It's had to have been here for a while.
Yeah. I mean, there's been stingrays in the Amazon forever.
Look, this crazy and different. I don't know.
And I, like I said, we said it already in the episode. I think there could be some of that modification with storytelling.
Exaggeration.
Yeah.
Fisherman tales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe it did bite somebody, or it stung somebody, or, you know, somebody got grabbed and, you know, on the water's edge.
Yeah.
And that turns into a monster that flies out of the water to grab you and he sucks down a baby.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. That's the weirdest part. It's like a mosquito holding you down and eating you dry.
Yeah. All right. You have any more thoughts? I got one more.
Yeah, no, let's hear the last one.
There's a chance that this is a Mata turtle.
A Mata? Oh, like a, I know what you're talking about. Those are the ones that have all the crazy shell. They look like leaves, like a pile of leaves.
Yeah.
Okay.
They get kind of big. I'll pull up the exact size.
What are their eyes like?
You hardly can see them.
Okay.
But the eyes, let's say it is a rogue Matamata turtle.
Okay.
They can shoot out of the water to grab prey. So they have like the long necks that shoot and grab prey.
Oh, they very long necks. I'm looking them up right now. Oh, they're weird.
Yeah, they look like a big pile of leaves or anything like that.
Yep.
So what if it's a Matamata turtle? And I'm trying to find the world record size of them. They're extremely rare. They're the rarest turtle in South America.
Wow.
So they're listed as least concerned right now, I believe. But it's because I think it just where they live, the Amazonian Matamata is just really hard to find. I'm trying to find a size on them.
Yeah.
Like a maximum size.
Okay.
But they kind of have a stingray shape. They look like a big pile of leaves. Their skin, they're flat. They're huge and flat.
Yeah.
And their heads stretched.
Their heads are really wide and
so
flat.
What if the extra eyes were all the skin flaps they have?
Okay.
You know, it was talking about these eyes and teeth everywhere, the claws.
Yeah.
And a Matamata had just grabbed somebody one time or, you know, a couple times. And all you see is this big flat piece of skin shooting out of the water really fast and grabbing you.
And they have moss growing on their backs in some of these pictures.
Oh, no, they look like islands. And I'm trying to find the size of them. So 38 pounds and 3 foot long pretty much is the biggest in captivity right now.
3 foot long?
Yeah, because they're big and flat turtles.
Wow.
So not like tortoises, you know, big tall things.
Right, yeah, bulky.
But some people think they get much larger than that. Like I'm hearing some of these are saying, you know, 80 pounds. There's, you know, shells of what they believe are 80-pound individuals.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, big enough to definitely grab a kid.
I can't believe they're in the least concerned category. I looked it up. They are. They are. But being, you know, that rare and stuff, that's kind of... wonder if they just don't know.
Well, they're very camouflaged.
Yeah.
And where they live is very hard to get to by, like, Western science.
Right. So, yeah, they might not even know the whole numbers. Mm-hmm. Just assuming they're fine.
So, what if this is just a Matamata turtle that bit somebody? Or if they get big enough... what if a Matamata turtle ate somebody?
Yeah, if they act have those behaviors, yeah. That'd be wild.
But, like, the neck shoots out to grab prey.
Yeah, which I seen that on there, like, far. Like, it has a really long... it looks like a long-necked turtle.
As long as the body.
Yeah.
They shoot out as long as the body.
Are they called long-necked turtles or snake-head turtles?
What that's a different species.
Right, yeah. But those have... I don't know if anyone's ever seen...
side-necked turtles.
Side-necked turtles? Yeah. Okay. If anyone's ever seen them at home, those look... literally, they look like a mini, like... the brontosaurus neck.
Yeah, yeah. So Emily had one for a long time.
Oh, she did? Okay.
A pink, African pink side neck.
Well, I seen him at the zoo one time. I forget where we were. Or like in a big aquarium zoo. But they had a pair of them in this big aquarium tank. I mean, it was they were big for, I think they get, I don't know how big they get, but they were like size of basketballs, like their shells. So their neck's coming out. I mean, it looked like a foot long neck.
Normally, like, it's as long as their shell.
Yeah.
But side necks, like, that's why they're called side necks, is because they have to store some of their neck on the side.
Oh, gotcha.
Because they're that long.
When they come back in, yeah.
So, yeah, wild. What if this is a big Matamata, you know, we don't know a lot about?
With being flat, I mean, I could see that. The only thing that throws it off a little bit would be the eyes or maybe the way it moved around, but it's hard telling underwater.
Matamata move extremely slow.
Yeah.
And then they just shoot out. They're ambush predators.
Mm. So, I mean, that fits. It fits.
Some of the bigger descriptions of El Curo was that it was like an island. Like it had plants and stuff on its back and then it shot out and grabbed. It could just be a big Matamata
shell.
And I'm not even saying they killed anybody, but if you just see this thing fly at you and bite you and it hurts.
Yeah.
And then you get away, El Curo just attacked you.
Yeah, right. Huh.
So what do you think of that?
This could explain some of the sightings.
And then my last one is just a possessed cow skin.
Oh, yes. Now, I've seen videos. You can't believe anything on the internet. But there was this one that was really weird. And it looked like a shadow, like, moving across the ground and went into the water.
It was El Curo.
And have you seen that video?
No.
It's
probably the AI polar bear video again.
No, this was old. This was an old one I seen before we ever started doing this show.
Oh, okay.
But it looked like a shadow, like... the video looked real because when it went into the water rippled away. So it'd be a really weird effect to
do
to just do that. Because it did. It like sl- it's It was like a shadow. I want to say it slithered away, but it didn't. It wasn't like snake shaped at all. It was like a blobby kind of thing. But it was just right on the ground. It literally looked like a moving shadow, because that's the only way, best way I can describe it, because it was so close to the ground. And it, when it went into the water, you seen it like spread out a little bit and was gone, swam away. But really weird.
Yeah.
Really, really weird. So that's, they only possess that cow skin? Okay. Yeah, I've seen something like that on.
No, so yeah, that's always the thing, is that the spiritual aspect in South America.
Yeah.
There is plenty of weird spiritual, or I don't even know how to say it, monsters like that.
Yeah.
And I think some of them are real. I think there is scary stuff in the jungle.
Yokai.
And this isn't exactly in the jungle. You know, we're talking about the Andes Mountains.
Yeah.
Which is still a remote and fascinating place.
Oh, yeah. Is it yokai in Japan? And they're called the possessed
objects? Okay. Yokai is like a big general term.
Okay.
Like a group. It's the group of things.
Okay.
Yes, some of the yokai are the possessed objects.
Yes.
But I believe your kappa falls under yokai as well.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of like a general term, like paranormal.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of means, not exactly, you know, I'm watering it right. dramatically, but kind of just, it's like a catch-all term for weird paranormal entity.
Okay. Well, there you go. South American yokai.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I kind of always lean towards, if it's real and it's not a known animal, giant slug.
Mollusk.
Huh?
Or mollusk.
Yeah, any of the mollusks. Right. Any like big, like a nudibranch or something like that.
Yeah.
What?
It's just, you know, anything. Like, you know, a nudibranch, something like that.
It's a sea slug. A sea slug's family, but there are freshwater nudibranchs, but.
It's just funny, normal conversation.
It is normal conversation. If it's a known animal that either has been monstrified or, you know, personified into a villain. Matamata is a good, you know, good thing. Or stingray. There are giant stingrays in the Amazon. They do kill people. They are dangerous.
But I think the Matamata fits a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, it could be any of it. And just, or it could just be fully made up.
Or it could
be a part of folklore that.
A warning.
Grabbed onto something. And,
yeah. And just a warning that water's dangerous.
Yeah. Especially, yeah.
In this area.
Yeah. All right, I think that's it. I've been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been JClone25.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crypt of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.